Let's talk about the body of Christ. So God has created you. He has not made a mistake when he did so. He put you in the family that you should be in. He gave you the parents you should have. He created you with the mental capacities you should have. He created you with the gifts and the talents you have. And then he put you in the body of Christ, right? If you're a believer, if you've trusted the price that Christ paid for your sin and mine, and said, I'm placing my trust in Christ, then you're part of God's family. Good news, like many of you have done, when you have a birth in the family, guess what? You get a gift. And so God's given you a gift. And in Acts 2:38, it tells us that the gift is His Spirit. So He puts His Spirit inside you, and His Spirit is going to work differently in your life than He will in other people's lives. And the way that He works in our lives, Scripture sometimes also refers to as gifts. And so there are things called spiritual gifts, and there's a couple of passages, and we're going to look at that this morning. Let's consider, I want to talk a little bit about Matthew 25, so verses 14 to 23, and it's a story that Jesus tells. And so he tells the story of a man who's going on a journey, and the man's got lots of stuff. And so he entrusts to his servants, he gives five things to one of them, he gives two things to another, to a third one he gives one, and then he leaves. And the guy who gets five says, I got to do something with this, right? And so he works and tries to grow what he's been given. Same for the guy with two. And then the master comes back. And so he says, hey, what did you do with the stuff I entrusted to you? And the guy with five said, hey, you gave me five. I got five. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with this. I'm going to put you over a bunch of stuff. We're going to have a joyous time together. So next servant comes in and he says, what did you do? And he says, well, you gave me two and I got two. Now, I don't know what he was thinking at the time. But if he was in the room when the guy had five, he might have thought, oh, I'm in big trouble. Okay, he got five new ones and I only got two. What am I going to do here? And the truth is, the answer to the second one is the same as it is to the first. Well done, good, faithful servant. You've been faithful with this. I've got lots for you to do. Enter in, right? Be joyous with me as we celebrate. What does that have to do with the body of Christ? Well, it has a lot to do with it. Because not everybody is gifted in the same way in the body of Christ. Romans 12. It's a passage, I think you probably got it on your sheets. It has a list of giftings in there. And those giftings are not an exhaustive list. It's not one that, you know, you say, okay, this is it. If I don't have these, I'm out. Right? If you're in the body of Christ, God has gifted you. So, but let's talk about these quickly. And some of them may resonate with you. You may think, yeah, that sounds kind of like me. So prophecy, speaking the truth in love. Prophets in the Old Testament sometimes told things in the future, but generally they spent most of their time talking to the people that were around them, speaking truth to them. Either words of encouragement. Sometimes it was words of, okay, open the gates and let the enemy in. Okay, that's not what anybody wanted to hear. But these were words from God. They were truth from God that were spoken to people. Second one, service. Love in action. Honoring and meeting the needs and everything in between. The body of Christ needs lots of servers. Teaching. Detailed instruction, people that really dig in,
know the nuances of Scripture, know how it all fits together. They've got the whole thing kind of wrapped in, and then they can communicate that to other people. We need that. Exhortation, my personal favorite. Encouraging people in their growth. Walking beside them. And cheering them on. Giving. People that can generously share with the body of Christ. Maybe God gives these people the ability to make money or whatever they're giving. There's an abundance of it, and they give generously to the body of Christ. Leading, administration, and organization. You need that. Mercy. We need people that are tenderhearted around us. We do. Which of these is better? None. Okay? But they may resonate with you in a way that gives you a hint as to where you might be gifted. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 to 27. I'm going to summarize it for you. I encourage you to go back and read it. He says, he starts off by saying, there's many parts to the body, but there's one body. Okay? There's one me, but I got lots of different pieces. You do too. And he talks about the fact that there's Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. We're all in this one body of Christ together. And then he goes off and talks about some examples of that. He's going to tie this in relative to the gifts, right? So if my hand says, hey, I'm not the ear. I can't hear anything. So I'm just useless. I'm not a part of the body. Is it still part of the body? Yeah, absolutely. It's an essential part of the body. If I didn't have my hand, it'd be bad, right? It would impact the way that I live. If my hand said to my feet, you know, you're not good for very much and you kind of stink some of the time. So I don't think you're really a necessary part of the body. Are my feet still a part of the body? Of course they are. And Paul gives this example in 1 Corinthians 12 to clue us in on two things. One is, he's fighting two ideas. One of them is, if I'm not like you, then I'm not valuable. The second one is, if you're not like me, you're not valuable. There were a couple of ladies in a church. Sweet ladies, dear ladies, godly ladies. And one of these ladies was a server. She loved to serve people. I mean, when you walked into her house, you felt really special. She liked to pray for people. She worked at a crisis pregnancy center. She was always involved with people, serving people. Dear lady. Second lady was a teacher, right? She loved to teach. She would stay home. She would study. She'd read in all these books. She'd understand Scripture and the details in it. And it was fabulous, right? She could communicate that to people, right? And really impact them. So, lady number one, her thoughts about lady number two were, and this is true, and by this way, this is not in our church, right? So don't try to figure out who this is. None of you know these people, right? So don't say, oh, I know. No, you don't. You don't know them, okay? So lady number one, her attitude towards lady number two was, you know, if you'd get your nose out of a book and get out there where people are, you could have some real ministry. You know, you got to get out of your house and get with people. Lady number two's thought about lady number one was, you know, if you would ever be quiet enough to let God listen to you and you would stay home and study, right, he could really speak to you. Okay? Godly ladies, dear ladies, both of them. And they came to understand what Paul was saying in this passage. What were they after? Both of them. They were after the growth and the benefit and the health of the body of Christ. Does the body of Christ need truth? Absolutely. Does the body of Christ need people to walk with people out wherever they are? Yes, absolutely. Their motivations were very different because they were built differently and they were gifted differently. But as they understood it, they actually became pretty good friends with each other. And the body grew because they were both ministering, but their giftings were different. Towards the end of this passage, Paul says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there should be no division in the body. The members should have the same concern for each other. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. There's a natural tendency. It was true in the Old Testament, in the New Testament church. It's true in our church. It's been true through the ages. That we look at people that have more public giftings and say, wow, wouldn't that be great? Okay. Sometimes we think, oh, they're probably at a different level spiritually than I am. Okay. Paul says, don't you buy it. Okay. Now, if I had to make a choice, if you had to make a choice, and some of you don't have this choice, but if you had a choice between losing your hair, okay, some of you men, okay, again, you have to think of something else, right? Or losing one of your lungs, which would you choose?
Hair.
Yeah, right? Good news for me, still have my lungs, hair's going away. Okay. The less visible giftings and ministry in the church is often more essential than what you see on the public stage. That doesn't discount what happens on the public stage. It elevates what happens in private, in places where things are quiet, in small groups, in you walking individually with people, in your interactions with people. When I had some surgery a couple years ago, I had a prostate cancer, and I would have these cards show up. None of you knew that. Somebody did. But most of you didn't know it, right? What encouragement, right? My dad died a few years ago. People would send a note, you know, just thinking about your dad, it's been a couple years. Very quiet, very significant ministry in the body of Christ. Don't be fooled into thinking, okay, it's different between being up here and being in other places. We're all essential parts of the body of Christ. If you think about who Jesus often praised, it wasn't the guys with the big bags of money dropping them in the box at the temple. It was a widow that had a couple of small coins. It was a lady that reached out not even to touch him, but to touch just the hem of his clothes. It was the Samaritan, the despised people, who came back healed of leprosy to say thank you. Honor should go throughout the body. So that's a little bit on gifts. Let's talk about ministry. So I'll bet that none of you has the gift of changing diapers. That's probably not your spiritual gift. How about taking out the trash? If you have the gift of vacuuming, you can come on Wednesday nights. We'll put you to good use in the youth room. Right? But ministry's got to get done. Right? There's ministry, and ministry's different from giftings. See, I'm not gifted as a teacher, my opinion, right? But I can do the job of teaching. You may be gifted in mercy, but God may put you in a class where you're leading a class of people. So ministry and giftings are different. We're all called to minister. I almost put a question in here that said, how many ministers should our church have? And the answer is, as many as there are you. Right? I went to a church, and their thing they had on the bulletin every week was ministers, all the members. We are all to be involved in ministry. There's not a place for us to just kind of go, nah, I'm not important. All right, we'll go back and read 1 Corinthians again. Okay? Because we're all essential parts of the body of Christ. So there's a number of one another's in Scripture. Good news for you is we're not going to cover all these today. Because there's also this page of things. And that's just one translation's versions of one. Look at that. List of one another's. But I do want to touch on some as we go through here. Because these are things we're all called to do. John 13, John 15, Jesus says, love one another. And then the clicker goes away. Okay, Henry, can you advance, please? It's okay. No, it'll be fine. I'm just wearing it out, I think. Romans 12 says, outdo one another. I thought, I like this one. Yeah, this is good, right? Go ahead. You outdo one another in showing honor to people. Okay, next. Let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. The purpose of God giving you these gifts is not so that you can just feel good. The purpose is for the growth and health of the body. In Romans 15, Paul says, live in harmony with one another. Now, I'm not a music major, so I don't know a whole lot about harmony, but I do know it's not one note, it's multiple notes, and they blend together. So someone has designed this so that it adds, if you would, strength to the music. As you sing on Sunday mornings, it adds strength to that. Live in harmony with each other. Not that you're the same, but you live in a way that builds on the body. Okay? Instruct one another. We need instruction. Serve one another through love. Bearing with one another. To me, when I hear I'm bearing with someone, I don't know what you think. I think, oh, they're not easy to live with, are they? Or maybe I'm not easy to live with. But it's talking about going through something hard together and sticking with them. Bearing with one another. These are one another's we're all called to do. Okay? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. just as God has forgiven you in Christ. Kindness is not earned. Kindness is a gift. Speaking to one another, or if you would, singing to one another, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. The first part of this service is not some minor thing. It is a big thing. It is important for us to sing to each other. Should we sing to ourselves? Yeah. But you should also sing with each other, with your heart, singing and making music. It's essential. Try to be here when the service starts so that you can do this. I'm sorry, I'm meddling. Go ahead. Next. I'm going to do so again in just a minute, so I'm not too sorry. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Not doing what I want to do, doing what you want me to do. Paul was kind of stuck on this one, right? These are all like Paul things. Encouraging one another. Walk with people. Cheer them on. Go through hard things with them. Bring them along with you. Pursue what is good for one another. Well, that's the body of Christ. Go ahead, Henry. Confess your sins to one another. I'll bet that's got to be one of the least done one another's in the whole Bible. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Wow. Be hospitable to one another. You know, it occurred to me that the hospitable and hospital look very similar to each other. No, why do you think that is? Because there's healing in hospitality. When you open your home and your life up to other people and invite them in, there's healing that happens, there's growth that happens there. Okay, go ahead. Oh, all right, so you're done. Good. Okay, next. Ephesians 4. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Again, gifts for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we'll no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown about by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. So there's two connections that Paul talks about here. One of them is you're connected to the head. If part of your body is not connected to the head, what do we call that? We call it paralysis or loss of function or something, right? If my ear isn't connected to my head, I don't get to hear out of it. If my legs aren't connected and getting control signals from the head, then I can't walk. The other part is you have to be connected to each other. So if I want to pick up this fine Georgia Tech cup here, but if I want to pick this up, then my hand has to be connected to my wrist, to my arm, too, right? And there are ligaments there. There's sinew there in Trump's translations. There's a toughness in it. It's hard. It sticks with it. It means I've got to lean. My hand can't just do this. It leans on my arm to help it along. There's a connection there that's got to happen between the two things. Okay, next. So some thoughts. One of them is God places us in situations where we need each other. No exceptions. I know of no exceptions. If you're one, let me know. But we need each other, and God's going to show that to us by putting us in situations where we do. Second one, no one is either a full-time giver or a full-time receiver in the healthy body of Christ. There are times that you're doing both. There are times you're on the receiving end big time. There are times you're on the giving end big time. We are all essential parts of the body of Christ. We're all receiving and givers, right? Both are important. Third is humility is required for this to work. How many of you like to ask for help? Yeah, me either. Guess what? God wants us to be humble people. He wants us to have humility. Okay, next, a disclaimer. God has given us different personalities. So for some of you, to be in groups of people, let's say a large group of people, is just exhausting. Okay, you may be there for a little while. Go up back. Go up one, Henry. Thank you. So it's just tiring. For other people, it's energizing. It's going to look different for you to use your gifts in the body of Christ. That's okay. Guess what? I'm not going to judge you. You shouldn't be judging each other. The servants weren't responsible to each other. The guy who had five wasn't going, oh, you only got two. Oh, you must not be very smart, you know? He wasn't doing that, right? They're each responsible to the one who has gifted them. So are we. Treat each other with grace. The body's full of fallen people. Let's give each other grace with that. Connecting may require you to change your social life. You may have to put some new people in your life. Some people you may not see quite as often, which might be painful. It's okay, you still need to be connected. Ministry isn't about us feeling good, although that often happens. It's about meeting the needs in the body of Christ. You have to be around people in order to be connected to them. So sometimes people get in the niceness of, you know, I can just stay home and live stream, or, sorry, I'm not really insulting you people, but I can just stay home and live stream, it'll all be good, right? How are you connecting to the body of Christ? Yeah, you're getting fed. I got that. That's good. And there are times that it's, when we were taking care of my dad, right, I was watching live stream all over this place. Right? Because somebody had to be there with him. I got that. But if you can be here in the body of Christ with people, it doesn't have to be Sundays, but in the week, whenever it is, if you're not actually with people, you're probably not connecting well with the body of Christ. You can do stuff during the weeks. You can go visit people that can't come. You can come camping with us in the fall. October is our camping trip. You can work on cars together. You can serve our community together, right? Lilburn Co-op's looking for people. Go do stuff together. Operation Christmas Child when it shows up. Go minister together with people in the body of Christ. And because working together is a great way to build connection. Right? I've been on mission trips with some of you folks. I don't have that same relationship with you anymore. Right? I've connected in a different way with you because we've gone and worked together. And I am grateful for that. If you're looking for a place to go serve, if you go down to Children's Hall or talk to Deborah Sanders, right, who's waving her hand back there, right? You won't get far in Scripture before you figure out that children are important to God. And we need some people to help, right? I knew she's not here. I want to tell a story of my mother. So she was in her mid-70s, very involved in her church. Senior adult ministry. She and my dad were leading a department down there, and she's doing all sorts of stuff, and she quit. And she went down the hall and started holding babies. And those people would come and say, "Oh, we really miss you being in our church, you know, in senior adults." And she'd say, "Come on down." Right? Come be part of this with me. Serve together. Where you see a need, there's an opportunity for ministry. You don't have to have the gifting of changing diapers to be involved in ministry. Okay. Now, Henry. Hebrews 3. Watch out. Whoa, slide jumped. Brothers and sisters, so that there won't be any of you be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Can we all agree that's a good thing? Yeah, absolutely. But encourage each other, how often? Daily. Does that mean like once a week? Does that mean daily? Every day, you and I should be involved in encouraging each other, in ministering to the body of Christ, so that none of you, and includes the encourager, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. Pray with me.